Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
A great, great woman. I want to preach today about a prophet named Elijah and a holy, holy man of God. You say, Pastor, what's the difference of just a man of God or a religious God or a holy man is separated, and you know how he walks, that he's serving God. You know how he talks, that he's serving God. You know how he dresses, that he's serving God. You know how he treats his family, that he's serving God. You know everything about him, and we're going to talk about a few characteristics that we need to have, and I want to tell you this morning in this short time what character is. It's I am the same whether you can see me or not. Do you have it? Whether you can see me or not, my brother Bob knows if I've done it. I mean that. I know whether he has done it. Sometimes I tell. It helps him. It helps his character. It helps his character. But characteristics that we carry with us that is ours, you know. I want to tell you the characteristics of 2 Kings chapter 4. The woman didn't have a name. She was from Shunem, but she didn't have a name, but she had a name. God knew her first name, God knew her second name, and God knew her last name. I want you to know that. But she didn't require that it be written in the word because her position was not with the world. Her position and her relationship was with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her characteristics in chapter 8, it starts of chapter 4, verse 8, 2 Kings, it tells that she was generous in her giving. Now, Bob, I was going to think of a woman that was really, really generous, and that's our mama, for one thing, my. But you won't, and I didn't make this up, and I'm not saying this so I get to come back and preach later. But this is the most giving, generous man that I know. I don't know what he gave for his suit today, but Michael, it was too much. And his tie. He looks good, don't he? But if you need it, he'll give it to you. And he'll go put on an old pair of pants and a t-shirt and go home. He's the most generous. This woman was a generous, not just this prophet went by, and she seen him go by. He was on his mission, Elijah. And as he went by, I think one of the requirements of the land was give him a piece of bread. And I think that probably there was 10, 20 people around that when he went by, they give him a piece of bread. But listen what the Bible says. He fell on the day that Elijah passed to Shunem and was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. She said, you know, you got to eat. And so it was that as office he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And then she said to her husband, now I want you to get this. This is generous. This is her characteristic. This is who she is. When you don't see her, she was always like that. It says here that she turned thither to eat the bread, and he said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God. He said, this She said, this man that we are feeding, as he goes by, I see that he is separated from this world. I see he isn't just religious. I see he doesn't just go to church. I see that he is walking this way and this way, and the whole world is going the other way. I want to get to know him better. That's what she said. And do you know what she said to her husband? Now, be careful, church, right here. This is where we get in trouble. If you keep God right here in your sanctuary on Sunday morning for an hour, hour and a half, you got it made. But if you take him home with you this afternoon and move him into your house and move him into the rooms of your houses and your closets, your life is begun to change and begin to change, and you're going to have a godly person that lives the presence of Jesus in your house, and you will never, ever be the same. Never. The greatest thing that can happen. But are there ups and downs? You better believe there. She said to her husband, will you just, we're going to make us a little room, and we're going to ask him to stay here. We're going to give him a bed to sleep in, this holy man of God, because he's going to need a sanctuary where he's just kind of set apart, where he can get alone and be with God, because she knew by looking at him that he spent a lot of time. He had a stool. He had a stand. He had a candlestick, the Bible says. Let's make him a chamber, she said. And that's how I knew one of her characteristics. She was generous. She was generous with what God had given to her. She began to give away. Ladies, are you generous? Ladies, I don't know if I am. I think I like company, and I like to know you're coming. I don't have to know you're coming, but, you know, Bob and Terry's coming. I didn't know they were coming. But it's okay. I don't have to know you're coming, but I like to know you're coming. My mom didn't know anybody was coming. My dad invited the whole world home almost twice a week, and she just took the bologna and split it in different ways, and the cheese. You think I'm kidding? I'm not, am I, Bob? And Michael's ate it, haven't you? Yeah. And the cheese was, you know, and the only thing she'd say to my dad is after everybody'd go home, Eddie, I wish you'd tell me when you were inviting people to our home. God bless her heart. Eddie might have been somewhere out there if he was married to me, but you know, he wasn't. He had my mama. He had my mama. She was generous. I saw that. And then I just saw, too, he said, you have been so generous to me, and I'm going to tell this so we can get through it, but you have been so generous to me. He sent his servant. And he said, see what she needs. Now this just, I almost didn't preach it because of this. Because ladies, do you know what she said? She said here in verse 13, and she answered, I dwell among my own people. What she said was, really, I don't need nothing. Don't you wish I was like that, Jerry? Well, I'm just telling you the truth. Now, I got a card this morning when I woke up. Jerry gets up at 4:30, and he's got his suit on by the time I get out of bed. And we are totally, 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 totally different and totally, totally, totally in love still after all these years. He had me a card, and on the front of it, it says, we were always so content in the beginning. And I had to laugh right out loud. We were content, and I was content to just be his wife. But then all this stuff happened. Three girls, that's a lot of stuff. Wait till you get two more of those, and you have one bathroom, and you don't have any money to have two bathrooms, and you will never get to go to the bathroom. I'm just telling you, it just won't happen. But all this stuff happened. You know, Jerry changed jobs. You know, we bought a home that we thought we could afford. You know, our car broke down, and we had to have enough. All this stuff began to happen. And what I seen here, she said to Elijah, she said, I don't need anything. I live among my people, and my people take care of me, and I take care of my people. Our relationship is just supreme, and I don't need anything. So what I seen there was she was beautifully content. That's how she was when you couldn't see her. She was beautifully content. And in the middle of that, Elijah prayed to God and said to his servant, "What do you see?" And he said, "She doesn't have any children." There's mama. She doesn't have any children. That's yours, isn't it, Bob? Hi, how are you? I didn't know he was here. She didn't have any kids. And God said to Elijah, "Tell her she's going to have a son next year about this time." There in the middle of her contentment, and you know what she said in the King James, because I got Daddy's Bible this morning. The King James said, "Don't you lie to me," she said to the prophet. "Don't you lie to me." She didn't believe it. You go home and read it. She didn't believe it. And in the middle of all that, come spring of the next year, she was pregnant and had this beautiful, beautiful baby boy. This baby boy began to grow up, and he was old enough to go out in the field with his dad. You go home and read the story. I wouldn't make this stuff up. This isn't my stuff. This is God's stuff that he's wrote. He went home. He went out in the field, and the sun began to shine, and he got a headache. A bad, bad headache, the Bible says. And the dad picked him up and brought him to his mama. She set him on her knee, and I think she prayed like she had never prayed before. And it seemed as though the little boy died. Now, I want you to see the third characteristic about this lady was her faith. Now, remember, she didn't only worship God, she moved a holy man into her house. She didn't only pray when somebody called on her to, she prayed when she got up in the morning and when she went to bed at night. She didn't only carry her Bible when somebody was looking, she knew where it was and read it. Now, church, you're sitting there thinking, "Well, I don't want to be like that." Well, if you don't want to be, it won't happen. I'll just tell you that. But you will never be happy until your relationship with God is the way God intended for it to be, church. All about him. Immediately, she said, "Get the donkey, bring it out. I'm going." You know, her husband brings it out. "Get me a servant. I'm going to this holy man of God, Elijah." Her husband said to her, and it reminded me of Jerry, "You need an appointment. You can't just go blurting in." Everything in his life is appointed and set, the alarm clock, everything, everything. In mine, I just want to do it when I want to. She said, "I'm going to the holy man of God, and I'm going because," he didn't know. She had taken that little boy and laid him in on Elijah's bed. Laying on his bed, church. There he laid on his bed. She took off. The servant comes running out. They see her coming. "What's wrong?" And you know what she says? This reminds me of this preacher right here. "It is well." In the middle of the biggest tragedy that you can walk through, "How are you?" "It is well." It doesn't mean you're not hurting. It doesn't mean you haven't cried till there's no more tears. What it means is my relationship is right with God, and it is well. But my son, I think, has died, but it is well. There is sickness in my home, but it is well, church, because my relationship is where it needs to be. oh, church, how can I walk through this ugly divorce when I don't even believe in divorce because it is well with your soul? How can I walk where these grandkids are going and I don't know what they're doing anymore? They don't even have God in their life. How can I get through these things that have come our way? Oh, church, because it is well in your relationship. Do you hurt? We hurt, we bleed, but God will put the Band-Aid on it. And she didn't let that servant stop her. The Bible says she went running and fell at the prophet's feet. Nothing could have stopped her. Now, my daddy ran our house. Did you know that, Bob? And my mom was just kind of new word for submissive. That was my mom. But little did I know that when it touched something in mom's heart, or when it was us kids, and Bob, you know I'm telling the truth, she would fight for us with both arms and both feet. And she wouldn't stop. She was tenacious in her feet in her faith. She was like a bulldog going for something. When you'd put her in a corner and she knew the truth of something, or when she believed in us, I can still hear her saying, Carol Ann won't do that anymore, Eddie. Carol Ann won't do that anymore. She didn't say it for Bob. He usually got a whipping. Just different personalities. She had a faith that the servant went, the prophet said, lay my staff on that little boy. He's laying in my bed. The presence of God is in that home. Go lay the staff over him and see what happens. He comes running back and he said, I did it twice. He said, nothing has happened. But he said, instead of turning around and going with the servant, the lady said, I'm not going. I'm not leaving you. And I was reading early this morning when I got up how Elijah said, I'm going to give Elisha the double portion. I'm going to give you all that what I have that you can rise up and be that prophet. And remember, he said, now you stay here, don't come with me. And he said, I'm going with you. Now you stay here, don't come with me. I'm going with you. He couldn't shake that guy that had a calling on his life. He said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And I think this woman with no name come up to him and laid at his feet. And he said, you know, you go, I've sent the servant. I'm not going till you're going. Did you ever tell God, I'm not going in this until I know you're with me? I'm not leaving your feet till I know that I can see. She didn't say, my boy has to live. Now you read it. She said, God will go with us when we walk into that room. And will I trust God? Yes, I will trust God with what has happened. I will trust him because it is well with my soul. But I will not quit until I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's will has been done in this situation. Oh, that's worth a clap. Come on, church. Come on. God is so good. And you know, the promise went, the Bible says in closing, he said that Elijah went. And he laid on the bed of the little boy. He laid over the little boy. His eyes touched his eyes. His hands touched his hands. His lips touched his lips. And he said, warm, breathing air became in that little boy's body. This is a true story, church. If you want to go away and tell somebody the little kid was just asleep, it's okay. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was dead. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the little boy had died. And the Bible says, listen, I had to reread this morning. He said he laid upon the child, his hands on his hands, stretched himself upon the child. Then he returned in verse 35, and he walked the house to and fro, and he went up and stretched himself on him. And the child sneezed 7 times. He was just a kid. He sneezed 7 times. And the Bible says he sent his servant out to get the mother. And I just thought this up, Michael, all by myself. I bet when the servant went out the door, he tripped over the mom, don't you? And I'll bet she was somewhere going, one, two, three, and going to 7, don't you? I think she knew her boy was alive before anybody else knew that her boy was alive. I believe she was a mother that loved her child more than life itself, but I also believe that she was a mother that had a right relationship with God through the highest of highs and through the lowest of lows. And she knew if death come here, there was heaven over there. And she knew if life come back in here, there was healing on this side, and it would increase our faith. And God was faithful to her. I'm going to close because Bob said I can't go past 11:30. I usually don't listen to him, but my goodness, this is quite a church this morning. I'm impressed. There was 3 men. The king was dying, almost dead. He was rich. He was rich. And he called in his kids. And he said to the oldest one, he said, if I leave you everything I have, what would you do with it? Oh, he said, Daddy, I'm already rich. He wore bifocals and trifocals, and I think he had a 3-piece suit and sat behind the desk. And I just imagine him being kind of short and kind of heavy. I don't know why. He said, Daddy, I'd take your money and my money, and we'd be the richest that you've ever seen in the whole wide world. There'd be nobody touch me. Daddy gave him a kiss and dismissed him, called in the middle son. He said, sir, I'm dying. He said, kids, he said, I want to leave my kingdom to somebody, but I don't know what to do. Well, he was handsome. Man, he was a good-looking kid. Michael, you can play something. I like it right here. He was a good-looking kid, handsome, intelligent. He said, if you'd give me the money, he said, people would be attracted to me. They already are, Daddy. I just walk around and they follow me. And he said, I'd just be more of a leader than I've ever been. He said, well, go get your baby brother. First of all, he came back and he said, I can't find my baby brother. He said, go look for him again. And in comes the baby brother. And he said, not cleaned up today? He said, oh, Daddy, these are my clothes. I used to have good clothes, but he said, I went down there among them people. You know, we live up here and they live down here. And he said, Daddy, some of them didn't have shoes. So I took off my shoes and just give them to him. One of them didn't have a coat, and I took off my coat, give him a coat. And he said, one of them got hurt really, really bad. And Daddy, I just stayed there at the hospital till they got better because they cried, and I cried, and I got to caring so much, I didn't hardly know what to do with myself. Said, then they had a party. Daddy, they had a party, and they invited me. Oh, did I fit in? Wow, it was fun, Dad. We partied, and we had fun. I just had the best time of my life. He said, son, if I give you everything I have, all the money, what would you do with it? And he said, oh, you probably don't want to give it to me. Because, Daddy, I'd just give it away. I'd just give it away. Because, you see, I love these people. I love these people. I don't know what you have today. Mother, I don't know whether you like for people to just drop in or you can just, you know, invite people and like them like that. I don't know about that. Maybe you're content. I'd like to tell you I'm just really, really content. I apologize this morning. because my wants are way too many. I've realized that. But I want a faith with an almighty God that is real and supreme, not pretend. I want one that my brothers can say, that's what she's like. I was around her. That's what she's like. I don't want to fool anybody. I want to tell you if I have some valleys that I need somebody and I need to reach out. I'm not ashamed to say I've had 4 funerals. Would you help me out in preaching? You'll never know what that kind of a phone call does for the other person. Let's stand. Mothers, be who God has called you to be.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.